So the last speaker of our session is David Wenyard, and he was working with the U.S. Navy and Defense Logistics Agency up until 2012, and he's been recently helping get an engineering program off the ground at Mount Vernon Nazarene College, and he considers himself a recovering engineer, so he's looking to new opportunities in the future. But he's been giving a few interesting talks to the ASA and transhumanism, and so I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say, kind of wrapping up our digital technology sessions for this year.
Thank you, Tim. I'm excited to be presenting today. I've presented a number of times in the last few years. When I started talking about transhumanism in, I think it was 2013, I was kind of alone, and there weren't very many people talking about it. And today, I'm seeing all kinds of topics that are related to this. So the interest in the future and how technology is going to affect that is kind of taking hold in ASA, and I'm glad to see that. So my topic for today is to move from the work that I've done as part of my PhD work, which was mostly focused on the what is question, moving on to the what ought to be. So when you start talking, moving toward normative questions, things get more difficult, but they're more important. How do we live going forward? Of course, it's also a somewhat controversial topic, and some of my friends in the transhumanist community may not be happy with what I have to say here. But my answer to this question is no. Christians should not embrace transhumanism, and that's what the purpose of this talk is about. By the way, this has nothing to do with feasibility. The question about whether or not we should take Rick Kurzweil and other people seriously about this and whether the singularity will come in 2045 or not is not my topic. My point is that faith in science and technology to shape the future is affecting the way people think today. And we need to deal with that reality, not speculating whether or not Rick Kurzweil is right or not. So the ASA has a statement of faith, and part of that is assent to the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. And that's an important thing. There are groups of Christians that have are devoted to the transhumanist vision, but they have chosen not to adopt a statement of faith. And so the question really becomes, what is it? What do you mean when you are a Christian? And I will take these as jumping off points for my talk. And I would say that when we assent to these creeds, we are believing in these things, not as elements of cultural Christianity, but these are things that we really do believe. We really do believe that there is a God who's personal, who created the universe, and who ultimately will judge our behavior in view of the salvation provided through Christ. So moving on from there as a starting point, I need to jump back to the question about what transhumanism is, in case you have not heard that term before. We all know the science and technology are growing. Rick Kurzweil would say they're accelerating at an exponential rate, and the power on the exponent is increasing. So that's the idea that he holds as leading to this singularity in another 20 or so years. Really, transhumanism is looking at transforming human life in kind of fundamental ways through a convergence of five different areas of science and technology. And I like to illustrate it in terms of this set of pictures. We're all familiar with the DNA molecule. We're getting better at manipulating things at the molecular level through nanotechnology. We have the HAL 9000 computer up there indicating that computer technology is part of this. We couldn't deal with the human genome without computers and other things. And as you mentioned this morning, you know, the idea of computer technology is starting to go more into neuroscience. How do we go from what traditionally have been kind of single processor, very high-speed processors, to the massively parallel architecture of the human brain? We want to reverse engineer the brain, is what the computer scientists are saying. And all of that can converge into this transhumanist vision of the future. And that's illustrated down here at the lower right. Now, it may seem obvious that we have a human being there and a robot, but the transhumanist vision blurs that completely. The human mind, they think, could be uploaded to a computer system, and so you would no longer have a biological body at all. And so we see two individuals there, but they're looking at a computer screen, and there could be any number of human beings, according to the transhumanists, living in that computer system. And so it's doing away with the necessity of a biological body and retaining the idea that these are basically human beings. That's a very radical thing, but that's at the heart of the transhumanist vision. So what should Christians think about this? That's the question on the table today. Well, first of all, there are a lot of things that the transhumanists want to do that are part of the Christian vision. We often think about science and technology as being sort of morally neutral. People will often say, you know, the technology is not bad, it's what you do with it. The transhumanists hope that what can be accomplished through this is to do a lot of the things that are part of the Christian vision. We want to eliminate death. We want to eliminate the loss of capability with age. We want to have expanded powers of understanding and all of these sorts of things. And some Christians have adopted this as being part of the Christian vision for the future. And somehow they think that science and technology are the ways in which God has intended for people to realize the promises that God has made. That's a really relatively small part of the Christian community. But there are some Christians who are serious in taking that position. And so given all of these good things, quote unquote, that are part of the transhumanist vision, what's not to like about this? Well, the problem is, that I see are on the philosophical and theological levels. It has nothing to do, again, with feasibility. It has to do with what our attitudes are toward this vision today and how we represent ourselves to the world around us. First of all, the philosophical concerns that go with this, there are parts of this vision that conflict with elements of the creeds. First of all, materialism, that the Nicene Creed talks about things that are invisible and invisible. And I don't mean by that things that we can't develop an instrument to see yet. We're talking about the spiritual side of things, whether we have souls and whether God is a spiritual being or not. The idea of humanism is part of this. Transhumanism is kind of an extension of this. And it eliminates this idea of any kind of responsibility to God. God doesn't exist, so we have no notion of sin or salvation through Christ, and the judgment is something that's just part of the Christian or the religious fiction. The transhumanist vision is very much this world rather than the world to come that's talked about in the Bible. Now, we can debate whether or not heaven will be here on earth, whether the new earth is brought down to us through these ways. But there's very much a lot of things in the transhumanist vision that go against what's in the creeds. Now again, all transhumanists, it seems, and many Christians believe that science and technology will bring this about, that somehow the other progress is built into the world around us. It's inevitable. If you look at Ray Kurzweil's book on the singularity, the word destiny or inevitable appears, you know, it's like every other page. He sees this as happening regardless of whether people oppose it or not. And the technological determinism is the part of this too, the idea that we are not in control of things, but the technology is what drives history. Science and technology are progressing inevitably, and we have no say in this matter. They're going to bring these things about whether we like it or not. And the ultimate part of this comes about in terms of agency, that right now we have this progress that's brought about by human beings working in research labs and whatnot. And soon we'll have artificial general intelligence that will exceed human intelligence, and that will be the last invention human beings will ever have to make, because progress from then on is just automatic. So those are all philosophical concerns that we might have about the transhumanist vision. More importantly is this inherently religious aspect to transhumanism. Max Moore is the author of this quote, and Max Moore is a committed atheist, but he's intellectually, he's very sound. I really, of all the transhumanists, I think I like Max Moore the most. And he's honest enough to say that the transhumanist vision has a religious element to it. It represents a faith in the future brought about by science and technology that does a lot of the things that religion does. He sees religion as a functional part of life, and the transhumanist vision serves that function. It gives us something to hope for, something to look forward to. And so transhumanism is very much a religious philosophy. And how should Christians approach this emerging religion? Well, one of the interesting things about this is the idea that within the transhumanist movement, there are many shades of thought about religion. Max Moore is down here. By the way, he is shown here in front of Doers of Liquid Nitrogen. He is the head of the Alcor organization that promotes cryonics as a way of preserving your physical body so that you can be reanimated at some point. So he's very committed to this materialist view of things, to the point where he will encourage people to have their bodies or heads preserved in nitrogen to be resurrected by science in the future. That goes all the way up through different shades of this, with Rick Kurzweil kind of in the middle here, all the way to groups here with Martine Rothblatt that overtly define transhumanism as a religious institution. Martine Rothblatt has started what's known as the Terrasem movement, and part of that is the Terrasem faith organization, trans-religion they call it. They would hold that you can be of any religious tradition and be a transhumanist, and part of their cabal, because they view religion as just whatever story you like best, rather than anything real. And part of their gospel, so to speak, is we're going to expand the capabilities of human beings. We're all going to be uploaded. We're going to get to the point where we can even alter the laws of nature, and part of their philosophy is the idea that they are going to create God. So this is clearly a religious phenomenon. Some of the folks on the left side of this would argue that transhumanism doesn't have to be religious, but in fact it's thoroughly saturated with religious meaning. So how should Christians respond to this? Well, there are spiritual and religious commitments that are embedded in transhumanism. And all of these views really are contrary to Christian thought. Everything ranging from just atheism, disbelief in God's existence, ranging through derision, making fun of religious faith and Christianity, to this idea of creating God. And I have Ray Kurzweil kind of in the middle of this. Ray Kurzweil would say that the function of religion is to explain why death is a good idea. So we can't deal with death unless we somehow, by religious faith, describe it in good terms. And so that's kind of a derisive description of religion that is part of Ray Kurzweil's picture of this. So all of these theological concerns should give Christians pause. And what do Christians do with this? Well, just like with the transhumanists having a range of views of this, people of faith have different views of culture, and of course Richard Niebuhr's book, Christ and Culture, describes the ways in which Christians have, through history, dealt with culture, ranging from Christ against culture is his description of people that try to distance their Christian faith from the world around them, to people on the right side of this that basically say it's Christ of culture, that Christ is working through all of society to bring about good things. And there's a range of beliefs in this. Well, the transhumanists tend to be toward the right side of this. N.T. Wright is practically a patron saint for some of the Christian transhumanists. But Christian transhumanism community really kind of misinterprets what N.T. Wright is saying, in my opinion. So let's look at this idea of Christian transhumanism a little more. First of all, there's a Christian Transhumanist Association, a few years back in Tulsa. I brought with me two of the founders of the Christian Transhumanist Association so they could speak firsthand about what their vision of Christian transhumanism should be. They've since organized this association, and this is their declaration. Now, like I say, they have not adopted any kind of statement of faith. They do not subscribe to the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. They have an idea of theological minimalism. In other words, let's avoid anything that's divisive. And therefore, there is a wide range of members of this Christian Transhumanist Association. A very large fraction are Mormons. And there are people that I wonder how they can even be a member of this organization. They don't seem to have any Christian commitments at all. But this is the declaration that they've come out with, and they say, in this way, we are Christian transhumanists. So they are all about, quote-unquote, redeeming transhumanism for Christ, if you believe some of their rhetoric. Well, if we look at this declaration a little more, this is what I see in this. I don't see anything in items 1 through 4 that I would disagree with. This to me falls under the 50-cent word of contextualization. They're basically saying that Christians should be committed to these things. Christians should be engaged in science and technology for various reasons. They fulfill the Great Commandments and all of this. And I don't see anything new to this. I've been a Christian for a long time. I worked as an engineer for many years, and I always thought of my work as an engineer as something that God wanted me to do, as a calling. And I could always explain my Christian faith in terms of what I did professionally, that I wanted to do good things for the world around me and for Christ. Somehow or the other, the Christian Transhumanist Association thinks this is kind of unique to them, and they kind of poo-poo anyone who questions science and technology as being kind of unchristian. What I have difficulty with, especially, is number 5, this idea that technology has to be part of this, and we are to follow Christ and use technology. So it's kind of the gospel of Christ plus technology. That has to be part of their vision. And they never really explain what they mean by empowering us to become more human across the scope of what it means to be creatures in the image of God. I think that my transformation by God when I go to the grave, when I'm raised in Christ, I think that's going to be a miraculous act of God that has nothing to do with any kind of human-generated science and technology. But the Christian transhumanist enthusiasts kind of blur this, and basically they end up with kind of syncretism of taking the Christian faith and adding to it this technological vision from transhumanism. And I think that obscures what the gospel is. It's basically saying that the Bible and the Bible's message is not enough. And I think that's inherently wrong, and I think Christians need to stay away from this. So my conclusion is that the technologies and sciences that are thought to converge in transhumanism, there's nothing wrong with those things. You know, we can debate the ethics of how we apply some of those things, you know, artificial intelligence and nanotechnology. And there are ethical issues about all of those things. The last talk about putting people out of work. There are all kinds of ethical issues related to the sciences and technologies that are thought to converge in transhumanism. And that's a completely separate topic that we talked about another day. But the idea that these things are going to converge and produce and realize the promises that God has given us is going too far. And so Christians should stay away from transhumanism, at least in its present form. Attempting to redeem transhumanism, in my opinion, the CTA has obscured the gospel. And in terms of what Paul says in Galatians, we need to stay away from that. Preaching another gospel is something that they should be accursed for. This is a dangerous thing for Christians' faith. And when it comes to dealing with the world around us, we don't have to do that anyway. Christians can embrace science and technology as ways to fulfill the first and second great commandments. We see the natural world. We can worship God in better and more full ways because we understand how great His creation is. And we can serve each other through technology in different ways. We don't need to go so far as to say we're going to achieve the promises God has made to us through science and technology. That's going too far. And so, subject to your questions, that's all I have.
Questions? So I'd like your opinion. I see parallels between transhumanism and communism. Karl Marx never intended for communism to become what it became, as Lenin hijacked the idea and bloody revolution, and then Stalin elevated communism to the status of religion, and then Khrushchev and Brezhnev. But ultimately, Putin right now becomes president, and the whole ceremony is orchestrated by the Orthodox Patriarch. After 7 decades of that religion, it didn't triumph over the human spirit. So I would offer an optimistic, that's another ism, optimism. I think this what will combat, so I wonder what you think about that.
Well, yeah, what else do you bring in with it? I think we can and should be optimistic based upon all of the progress that's been being made in all of these different fields. But I draw a bright line when I cross the line and say this has religious significance and is really the kind of a substitute for the promises that God has made to us. I think it's very dangerous. Dangerous view of this. So what else comes in with this? And I would not want Christians to give a stamp of approval on that kind of thing.
I haven't heard this word transhumanism before, but let me ask you this. A person who spends almost all their time on social the networks, interacting with other people, and almost no personal interaction, are they being less human?
Well, I would think that the CTA would have to answer that. I think that there are ways that God intends for people to interact, and I think part of that is face-to-face and even bodily. We have sacraments that have physical pieces to it. How do you become a partaker of the sacraments if you were uploaded to a computer and you have no physical body anymore? So that's a little theological issue that I don't think the CTA has ever gotten to. Yes, you know, our nature as human beings has always been changed by the environment around us, and the fact that we have science and technology is affecting how we see ourselves as human beings. But what really matters, I think, is what God thinks of that. And God has given us a book that tells us what some of these things are. And the idea that creation was good, and when mankind was made, it was very good, is part of that.
From what you know of the members of the CTA, are most of them, is it more of a think tank group? Are they mostly commentating on the technological work that others are doing, or do you know, are some of them actively involved in technological exploration, development?
Transhumanism is more a philosophical and social thing than anything else. And so what I see, CTA primarily communicates on a Facebook page. It's a bunch of people that are super enthusiastic about one technological or scientific breakthrough after another. And I think they let their enthusiasm kind of get the better of them and spills over to the Christians.
So they do more keeping their finger on the pulse of what others are doing.
Yeah, and then I come along and ask the difficult questions, and I get called troll and other things. I've actually been accused of the unforgivable sin because I have questioned whether some of their thoughts are legitimate.
Could you comment at all on parallels between transhumanism and Gnosticism, the ancient heresy?
Very, very, very close, very powerful things. The Gnosticism, basically they want to separate the human body from the intellect, so all that matters are your memories and thought process, and that can be put in the computer system and do anything you want. So it's very much a Gnostic kind of gospel.
A question in terms of, like, you mentioned drawing a line of sand earlier. I'm curious, because a lot of the transhumanism ideas that I understand in terms of almost like cyborgization is this slow progression. I would assume some transhumanism say that you're wearing glasses, that we're carrying cell phones,
oh, yes.
And that's part of that movement, and we're all participating.
That's right. You'll frequently hear arguments that say, well, there's nothing new here. There's nothing new. We've always been doing these things, and we can just continue going on. When you start to dispose of the need for a human body, well, that's a pretty significant jump there.
Or is it just in small parts?
this idea of incrementalism, we creep into the future and nothing really changes significantly along the way, is a big deal discussion. But on this side of anything like that, I think it's important that you draw some bright lines and say, well, what about this? Are we going to dispose of what the Bible says about the goodness of the human body and our being as souls and bodies? What do we do about it? And I think that the Christian transhumanists are too willing to say, well, the Bible's served us pretty well, but we really have to adapt. It's very much an evolutionary look at this. And if we have to drop things like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, well, so much better is what the answer seems to be from them. I've asked them again and again, you know, why don't you have a statement of faith? And how can you allow this organization to be called Christian when you don't even define what it is? In the absence of a definition of Christianity, it's really just a Christian gloss on a bunch of transhumanist enthusiasts. There's no meaning to the part of Christian. Is there such a thing as Christian Buddhism? Is there such a Christian animist? Well, the Christian transhumanists seem to be okay with adding that adjective of Christian to this. What they really are is transhumanists.
Okay, one last question.
Yeah, one
more. So one of my favorite authors is Neil Postman, and some of his books like Technopoly and Amusing Ourselves to Death, he kind of says the phrase, you know, the medium is the message, where like any technology, any media, it contains its own sort of message. You can't always get by it. Do you think that like transhumanism has a message that's fundamentally at odds with the creeds, or is it more the philosophical gloss that gets added on the objective?
I don't see any issue with the underlying science and technology pieces of this. I don't really see any problem with some of the far out ideas that Kurzweil embraces. The idea that my heart, for instance, might be replaced one day by little nanobots that carry oxygen and waste matter back and forth, you know, self-propelled. I don't have any problem with that. But the issue I have is when they cross this metaphysical line to say this is the way in which we're going to achieve the eschaton, the heavenly relationship we have with Christ and the world to come is just an analogy, or just a story. And what really going to happen is the world's going to get better and better. Here and now, in physical terms, I really object to that.
All right.
I'll hang around.
Thank you very much, David.